Well, this morning, I want to speak about giving. And, conveniently, we'll wait till after the offering. But I want to talk to you about why some Christians tithe. You might find that interesting, why some Christians tithe. Usually, the board would like me to speak a message about giving at some point through the year. So I got one Sunday left before next week, so I guess this is it. But hang in there. This is good. It's good things here. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Malachi 3, 10 to 12. That'll I want to read the whole thing, but I know that takes up quite a bit of time to read the whole chapter. You can do that maybe later on. I think we'll just start with there. It says, so bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help each one of us to take what we need to take from this message this morning. And Lord, I pray you just help me to communicate those words that you would want me to communicate, that, Lord, they might indeed come from you this very morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to share with you this morning about why some Christians tithe, why some Christians give 10% or a tenth of their income to God. You know, and as we start off with these few verses, it kind of gives you a real good reason right at the start of why we should take that opportunity to tithe. Now, when we talk about tithing, maybe you're here and you never heard of that word before, or you never heard a message about it before. I kind of got wondering about that, and I thought, maybe that's a problem in our Western culture, because Christians in other cultures of the world have held very tightly to this whole thing of tithing versus the Western society. And so maybe that's part of it, that we're not teaching about it enough. Now, I know when we talk about tithe, or you talk about money in the church, immediately somebody says, oh, is it going to be a scam? Or some idea that churches came up with to get money out of people. And there are lots of scams out there and manipulation out there, even in Christian circles. However, when it comes to tithe, that is something God came up with, not the church. God came up with it. And it's a practice that is biblical and that honors God. And when we give through a local church, you're choosing to do something that honors God. And that's something we need to keep that perspective in our minds, that as we give, we're not, even though it's going to the church, that not our mind frame needs to be, I'm giving it to God. I'm releasing it to God. And it's something that the Bible says he sees and something that he will honor us for. Now, in a local church, that tithe is used to provide for the expenses and ministries of the church. It helps pay for the staff, the church building, the ministries that the church provides. We do not get paid by the government. We do not get government grants. Every church is totally dependent on the generosity of the people who give. If you don't give, we don't get paid, and the building gets to be sold. And that's a really sad reality, as we've seen that across Canada, a number of churches being sold. Just a few weeks ago, I heard of a really nice-sized church that had to be sold. And very sad realities that can happen. But thankfully, that's not a reality here, because you do give. You do respond to the Lord, and your faithfulness and giving and supporting this church is really, really much appreciated. But yet, as a pastor, there does come those times when we are to speak about giving. And it's not a taboo subject, or shouldn't be to us, because it is a blessing to give. And we want you to be aware of what the Bible says about giving and the many blessings that it can bring to you. Now, as a church, we've done many good things throughout the years. We've given to some amazing ministries and missions, projects, programs, reaching out to our community. We've built this building that we have here. We've expanded it, and all that part is paid for. And we're very thankful for that because of your generosity that it is paid for. Now, the only debt that we have right now is the 26 acres that's next to us, and we owe $100,000+ on that. We'll give you the exact number next week. And at the time, we felt we should step out and buy that land, and so we did. And we're on the last 5 years, and hopefully we'll pay that off sooner than later. Besides your own expenses in a church, we also tithe of our offerings to our district and head office, which in turn supports many other programs, church plants, missions around the world. And of course, we also give to mission organizations. We give to missions locally as well. So our giving is important. And we want you to be aware of where your money goes and to be aware of what the Bible says about giving and why some Christians choose to tithe. Now, I'd like to say that all Christians tithe, but that's not the reality. And it's kind of becoming, in the Western world, less and less of a thing. And that's sad to see. And, you know, as we compare ourselves to other cultures of the world that are Christian, they're still very, very strongly into tithing. However, and thankfully, as a church, we do quite well. And we're a little over, I believe, 50% of people who tithe. And we also have a great group of people that give generous as well. And so that's unusual in churches today. And so thank you so very, very much for your kindness and your goodness. And, you know, part of that also lines up with Statistics Canada that tells us that rural Albertans are the best givers per capita in Canada. And so that's us. So thank the Lord for that. So why do some Christians tithe? Why do they view this as something that's important to them and to God? Now, I could go into a message choosing the other way. Why do Christians not tithe? But we want to keep this as a positive focus rather than a negative focus. And we as a church here, we are a great giving church. And so we're going to concentrate on that which is positive. And by the way, if you haven't been new here, we want to welcome you and help you to realize right from the start that you're welcome here whether you give or whether you don't give, okay? Just so you're aware of that, we don't make it compulsory for people to give, but we do give the opportunity, just like we had, for people to voluntarily give of their own free will. And we will talk about it from time to time, but we're not here trying to force you to do anything. We just want to educate you to what does the Bible say about this. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. Just going to spend some time here and talk about why some Christians tithe, give that tenth, give that 10% of their income through the local church. Well, one of the first reasons why some Christians tithe is because of the testimonies of those who do tithe and give. You know, we constantly hear wonderful stories of financial provision and blessing from those who tithe. They are people who tried it, and there's people that have found, you know what, this works. Malachi 3:10 again, bring all your tithes in the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'm going to pour out a blessing so great for you, you won't have room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Well, there's numbers of Christians who have tried this tithing thing, and they found that this verse is actually true. And as they stepped out and tithe, they began to see blessings come their way. Blessings of health, blessings of strength, blessings of peace, blessings of favor in their life, blessings financially, blessings of unusual breakthroughs, miracles that take place, even turnarounds in businesses. You know, people who tithe tell stories of wonderful blessings, improvements of health, situations with their family, turned around. Money lasting longer than before. That's an interesting one, because when you give a tithe, you think, man, how am I going to meet my bills? And it is an amazing thing that you find yourself being able to pay things better, even though you're getting less because you gave some away. So surprising breakthroughs, testimonies, finances, loans being paid off, unexpected inheritances, sales, discounts, financial turnarounds, all those kinds of things. Judy and I can testify of many of those blessings as well that have surprised us. And we know why, because we choose to tithe and it works. It was kind of an amazing thing this week as I was working on this message. I had a person come into my office, and as they came in and we were chatting for a while, they said, I'd like to pray over the finances in the church. All right, go ahead, let's do that. And that person did. They prayed over the finances of our church. And as soon as they were done, the phone rang. Very interesting, picked up that phone, and that person can tell you that this is true. And it was from a person that used to attend our church a few years back, and they moved away to New Brunswick. And they called me and said, hey, Pastor. Kind of surprised we're still calling me Pastor after all these years. And they're the other side of the country. And they said, I have a testimony. Do you want to hear a testimony? I said, well, I sure do. And anyways, they were telling me that, you know, on the last day we were in church, you prayed over us. You had the congregation pray over us. And at the end of that service, as we were leaving, they said a person from the church came up to them and said that God gave them a picture of a two-story house with black shutters on it. And they assumed that God was telling them that they would be owning a house once again. Well, after getting some amazing jobs, and that's another testimony in itself, they put an offer in a home this week, and they offered $45,000 less than what was being asked. And this is in a hot market where they're living right now. And they got it. They got it. And she says, and, you know, and just as an extra blessing, you know what, Pastor? The house is a two-story house with black shutters on it. How cool is that? Amen. See, God will honor us as we give. I talked to another person this week that came in, and they were talking to me, and I don't know, we kind of got off on the things of God's blessings. And this person began to share with me that, you know, when they went off to university, that a person came up to them and said, you know what, you really need to go for this, and I'm going to take care of your university expenses. For 5 years, they went to university, and every expense was paid at the university, at their rental place, their food, everything was paid for. Now, I know people that are in university now, or parents have kids in university. You're probably saying, man, I wish that had happened for us, because that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of young people can't tithe, because they got such a huge bill from university. But here it is, people that have been giving, and the Lord blessed them mightily. But, you know, God also brings blessings in our way, not just necessarily always big. Lots of times there's small blessings that he can bring in your path. And this same individual, he was talking that he went to this restaurant in Sherwood Park. It was a newer restaurant, I guess, and he wanted to try it out. And he had talked to the owner, happened to be there, and he was talking with him. And we went to go up and pay for his bill. The server said, sir, you don't have to pay because the owner paid your bill today. See, there's lots of little blessings and stories like that that come in big ways and small ways. And I hear lots of crazy testimonies like that from Christians who tithe, who give. And sometimes there's stories of supernatural provision. Sometimes there's stories of huge business turnarounds that have happened because they chose to give. So why do some Christians give, or why do they tithe? They tithe because they heard and experienced the wonderful testimonies that come along with tithing. They tithe because they decided, just as the Bible says, try it. Try it. Test God in this and see if testimonies won't come your way. So tithing works. Blessings will come your way when you tithe and give to God. Now, secondly, why some Christians tithe is because it's a biblical principle. It's taught in the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament. encouraging the people of God, believers, Christians, to give tithes and offerings. Now, of course, there's people that disagree with all of that. There's people that will disagree and say that tithing is a religious teaching. You're just being religious. It's the law, and that's all you're doing. You're religious. And might I just add something? When you get those people that talk to you and call you religious, they're actually the people who are religious because they have no clue what they're really talking about. But anyway, going there. Probably shouldn't have said that. Actually, tithing slips out from time to time. But tithing was introduced way back before the law. So when people say, oh, that's just the law, well, actually, tithing started way before then. And we go way back into the book of Genesis, way back to the time of Abraham. And we see the tithing was practiced by the patriarchs of the faith long before the law was ever given. Genesis 14, 18 to 20, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. And Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. So Melchizedek was referred to as the priest of the Most High. And he received these tithes that were given by Abram before he became Abraham. And so we see long before the law was ever given, tithing was instituted in the Bible. First reference in the Bible is always something to take important notice of because it carries a lot of weight into what we should be doing. And so Melchizedek is an order that is different than the order of the Aaronic order, which is the one that made the law. And so Melchizedek is a different order. And because it's a different order, it takes precedence over the other one. And of course, Jesus is also referred to as in the line of Melchizedek. Now, just as we speak of these patriarchs before the law, you'll also see that Jacob did the same thing. And he promised the Lord, I will give you a tenth of everything that I owe. And so we see in the Bible that when it talks about tithing, it's actually before the law. Yes, the law is part of the law. The law included it when it came out, but it was done long before the law was ever written. And so that's a good thing to know. And throughout the Old Testament, you'll see many passages that talk about the importance of giving and tithing right up to the very last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And then we come into the New Testament. And again, you'll often get those people that, you know, they want to disagree with you. They want to argue with you. They say, well, tithing is not in the New Testament. Okay, if that's what you say, go ahead and you can believe that too. Well, Luke chapter 11, verse 42. It's actually in there. It says, what sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Those are the words of Jesus himself. That's in the New Testament. You also find that in the book of Matthew as well. And yes, Jesus is telling people that, you know what, there can be more important things in life than tithing. Yes, there is. But he does say, but you still should tithe. And note that it says that you still should tithe, and that's Jesus who is saying that. And then as you go further in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews, we again see tithing mentioned in a number of verses here, especially in Hebrews chapter 7. And we'll just read one of those verses, verse 4, and says, consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. And so we see that the New Testament is giving authority to what happened back in Genesis, that tithing was something that took place. It goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirements of belonging to the tribe of Levi, by the law, by the power of life that cannot be destroyed, and that but by the power of life's story that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And so as you go back to that place of Melchizedek in the Old Testament, some believe that was a pre-appearance of Christ and that Abram actually tithed to Jesus. And so but here we have Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, not the Aaronic order, so not the law, but of the Melchizedek order. So again, that tithing is mentioned and connects it with Melchizedek, with the first reference of tithing. And so here we are coming near to the end of the New Testament. And again, we're hearing tithing being talked about. And so when people say, oh, it's not in the New Testament, yes, it is. I just read you some verses there. So tithing is a biblical principle that followers of God should follow, obviously. Now, if you think tithing is just only Old Testament, if you want to take that view, lots of people do, well, then you need to look at the New Testament. And the New Testament, when you start to look at giving in the New Testament, it kind of makes tithing a minimum. Actually, it's even in the Old Testament as well. But as you look to what they did in the New Testament, if you're one of those people, well, I'm just going to be a New Testament giver. Man, I'm really excited because, you know, Acts 2, 44, 45 says, and all the believers met together in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. Wow. How many of us are going to do that? So the New Testament is filled with passages of great generosity and giving, which comes down to, again, tithing is more of a minimum. So if you want to be just a New Testament Christian, God bless you because your generosity is going to be out of this world. And now when we talk about tithing, another subject that kind of comes up, and again, you get lots of disagreement from people, is that where should the tithe go? And some people believe, well, I can just give it whoever I want and wherever I want. And others would believe that, no, it's supposed to go to your local church. And if you're talking biblically, well, the Bible says your tithe should go to the local church, to the temple, your place of worship. There are offerings, there are gifts, there's thank offerings, there's a giving of alms, there's all kinds of other offerings as well that we can give. But the tithe has always been set aside to be given to the local place of worship. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place your Lord, your God, will choose for his name to be honored. And that's something that we need to do, to bring it to the designated place of worship. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. And again, so those tithes, they look after the priests, the pastors, the needs, the operation of the church, and that's what they're supposed to do. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, also talks about this fact of bringing your money to that local church. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. And don't wait till later to bring it in, but do it on the first day of the week. So the local church is important in every community. And friends, when you start to follow that through, you think of the Great Commission. Where does it say that we need to be focused first? We need to be focused in our Jerusalem, in our local area. We're to reach the people in our local community first. Establish your testimony locally and support your local church. I know we get a lot of people that talk about businesses that way. Hey, support your local businesses. Otherwise, we're going to close down. Well, same truth actually is the same thing for our churches. Now, tithing has been a practice observed from Old Testament times right through to New Testament times. A practice observed by the apostles of the Bible to our early church fathers, and a practice that has been observed by churches through thousands of years. And so, you know, if you're one of those people that like, oh, I don't think that I should be going to the local church. Well, I guess you got to argue with the scriptures, you got to argue with the early church fathers, you got to argue with a tradition that has happened through thousands of years through the church. So, something to think about. So biblical Christianity teaches that Christians should tithe and that we should bring that tithe to the local church. And there's a whole lot more I could say about all of this, but you know, that'd become a series, and I'm not sure if that'd be a big series that a lot of people may want to attend, although they should, because there's a lot of blessings in there. And that's where I come to last here, to talk about why do some Christians tithe? Well, because of the blessings of God. See, as we give, it does lead to blessings. Now, we don't give to get. That, you don't want that to be your motivation. We give because we want to give. We give because we want to be obedient. We give because we want to honor God. We give because we love God. We give because we want to show our gratitude to God. But experiencing the blessings of God is kind of a nice thing on the side as well. That's kind of a nice benefit when we give unto the Lord, that he blesses us. And, you know, we've read the familiar passage in Malachi that does talk about blessings being released as you give. That's important to know. Malachi 3, 10 to 12 again says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's army. So when you choose to tithe, it opens the door of heavenly blessings on our finances, you know, on your crops, on your income. It opens that door to protection, where God protects your finances, where God protects your health, and he keeps that devourer away from our homes. And who is the devourer? Well, he's a real big demon, and he wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy churches, and that's part of his job. He's also the same demon, that withholding spirit. And so you want to stay away from him. But as we tithe, God's saying, I'm going to protect you from that. So tithing takes away that demon's authority. Interesting as well that tithing even leads to our land being blessed and flourishing. You know, we have a lot today out there about, you know, environmental plans, and we need to do this, we need to do that for our environment. Well, you know what? The Bible speaks quite a bit about environment. One of the things it speaks about is obedience to him. That if you want to see the world change and nature change, be obedient to God. Turn from your sins and turn to God. But in another area, the Bible is telling us that if we tithe, that if we give that 10%, that it's also going to affect our environment that we live in. Now, it would be kind of nice to send that to our government right now to say that, hey, if you really want to change the environment, instead of a tax, maybe you should be encouraging everybody to tithe, because it will change the outcome. But in all reality, they actually do. See, they give you, because you choose to tithe, they give you a discount of your taxes. There's a write-off to your taxes because they're acknowledging that giving by Christians makes a difference in the world. And so you've probably found that out already, or you're about to find it out, that if you're a person that gives and it comes to income tax times, you're very, very thankful that you gave throughout the year. And if you haven't given throughout the year, you're not too happy when you go to that tax office and see what you have to put in. So technically, the government is actually acknowledging that part. Now, there's many scriptures that speak of receiving blessing when we tithe and give offerings to God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Again, it's talking about God will bless your resources, bring increase in your life. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. God wants to lead you in paths where you will be blessed. You know, so many scriptures in the Bible speak about God. He really does want to see each and every one of us blessed. And so he tells us. Jesus himself, what does he say?
Luke 6, 38 says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Here's the law of sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we're not going to read those passages of Scripture, but great chapters to read about the blessing of giving and how that it affects. And those chapters end with, it's going to cause people to be praying for you. And that is so true. I've always practiced that myself. I take time, but I don't do it every day, but I do take time to kind of go through a list of people that I've known that have blessed me throughout the years. And I just kind of say, God, I just remember so-and-so. And God, I just pray you're going to bless them. You're going to touch them because they were a blessing to me at this time in our lives. And I like doing that and going through that. And the Bible says that does happen. So people end up praying for you because you gave. You know, it's also interesting, too, that our offerings please God. It's like a sweet-smelling aroma. And so, you know, as a church, we started bringing our offering during COVID. That's when we started doing that. And then we said, well, why don't we just continue that? Shaking hands wasn't part of COVID, but we got through that part. But, you know, if you can imagine that as you bring your offering, you throw that in an offering plate or wherever you give, it's like offering a sweet-smelling savor unto God. It's like you got a big fire going, and it's all that smoke is going up towards heaven, and it's something that pleases the Lord. That's pretty cool. Now, we don't have time to address all the blessings of tithing and giving in the Bible, but man, it talks about it a whole lot. And God always blesses us as we give. Now, we don't give to get. We give because we want to honor the Lord. That's the right attitude. I want to bless the Lord. I want to thank the Lord. And that's what, that needs to always be there. But at the same time, we need to remember that God will bless those offerings. He really will. We serve a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. And as he sees us stepping out and honoring him with our giving, he will respond and he will bless us. Now, I could talk a whole lot more about giving and talk about a whole bunch of different things, but I don't want to keep you here to do that or do a series. And we want to make it clear to you as well that we do not force people to give or tithe here in this church. We don't make it a matter of money that you're here. We want you to be here whether you give or whether you do not give. And so please understand that. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or bad. I'm just trying to tell you there's things that the Bible says that we can apply to our lives and that the Lord would like to bless us. And so I'm hoping that this has kind of helped you understand. We've been asked that of late of, you know, why should we give? And we've been telling people, and so we're kind of doing that here just to help with people understand, well, what does this tithing stuff mean? And why do some Christians practice this? And why do you hear about it in church? Well, it's simply because it's in the Bible. And, you know, as the Bible says, give it a try. And we would say that this morning as well, that, you know, why don't you consider that? Why don't you consider giving a tithe unto the Lord? And I realize that, you know, some people may not be able to start with a full tenth because, well, we're not the greatest budgeters as well, and we often spend more than what we get. So it does take some work, can take some time. But you got to start with something. And, you know, as you start with something, you say, God, I'm starting today. This is just something. I know it's not a full tenth, but I'm starting with something. I'm going to work towards that tenth. You know, now Judy and I, we've had the blessing of being brought up and raised up in the church. And that was always an important thing to our parents. And they were tithers. And growing up, we always practiced, you got an allowance. Well, you tithe on your allowance, even as a kid. And you would give of your allowance a tithe to the church. And, you know, when you start young, as you get older and all of a sudden you're starting to make real money, it's not a problem.
not a problem because you're so used to doing it. Now go the other way. You've never grew up in the church. You've never had any background in the church. And it might sound like a huge, huge thing to you. And so again, take a start. Do something. Take a step in that direction. And if you stop tithing, you know, sometimes a word came there earlier today where maybe you were hurt in church. Maybe some things happened and got ticked off with the church. And that can happen as well. I encourage you to remember. Remember those breakthroughs that came when you did tithe. And I would encourage you to maybe look once again to start that up. You know, it is my job as a pastor and shepherd to make you aware of the teachings of the Bible. And we don't talk about giving very much. Sometimes once a year, sometimes once in 2 years. I was just kind of looking back to see when I did speak about it. But it is a truth that the Bible teaches. And it should be something that we should look at, we should consider, and you know, take advantage of. Now, as we end this service, I really want to say that we understand the financial stress that people get themselves into. And so, you know, if you're in a position where you can't give, it's okay. It's okay. We're not going to, you know, think less of you because you can't give. We understand when people get in positions where they're not able to. But we want you to know that we value and we thank you, you know, whether you give or whether you don't. But we appreciate the fact that you're here in this church. And we thank you because you're helping us to be a light in this community.